My friend Brian Taylor recently visited Chicago. I made him look at Berserk for the Atari 2600. When I went through a really rough phase in 2009 and I just moved in alone, I would come home from work every day and sit on the floor right where I'm sitting now and play Berserk for a really long time. And it wasn't until I was demonstrating Berserk for my friend Brian that I realized I've been playing it wrong in every way. For one thing, I think I have Evil Otto shut off. He's this bouncing smiley face that hops onto every play field, which is supposed to get you to leave the screen. So instead of hurrying through Berserk, I actually play it really slowly. Mostly I hide behind walls and wait for the evil robots to kill themselves. Well, that time that last guy didn't kill himself. So I'm kind of a pacifist when I play it, actually, because I try to not shoot at anything. When you play Berserk for the Atari 2600, it's something like the X and Y axes are different lengths, so it takes you a longer time to walk up and down the screen than it does side to side. So this changes the way you shoot at things. It means that if you stand next to a robot, he can kill you with a bullet more easily than if you're standing underneath a robot. So that changes where you stand. Oh, this is the other thing I like to do, is just stand while a robot shoots at me on the other side of a wall. And I won't leave the screen until he offs himself. And sometimes I shoot back. And I will do this for hours, instead of playing the game properly. Brian, as you can imagine, was horrified by this.
Sounds beautiful.
Thank you. No, and this is what I did for months. It's just this. Okay, now I wish he would just kill himself. Just walk into it. So, the other thing that's happening is, so I play my Atari on an HD CRT. So this is a tube television. It's 8 years old, actually. And I was explaining to Brian, too, that the, so Berserk is this very stark, black background and these glowing, blue walls. And the blue walls, there he goes, really do glow because this is a tube television. And if I ever played this game on a plasma or something like that, I don't think it would have the same sparseness. The robot's heads, it's this very simple animation that suggests that their heads are spinning. Oh, that was me getting an extra life. See, that's the... No! That's what happened to my extra life. Just that. So they have this strobing on their heads. Oh, it's such a simple animation. It's really effective. And of course, you want to play an Atari Ian Bogos. We've talked about this a lot. You want to play on a cathode because the game is supposed to be murky and blurry, and that actually helps the animation. In the Atari 2600 version of Berserk, which of course is a 1983, I think, arcade game, I really like how when you're standing in place, you really look like a dotted eye, which I think is some sort of nice metaphor.
Like an id,
you know? I don't know. But, so you're not supposed to walk into a wall. What else? On some screens, some robots are unexpectedly fast. You know, it's the... the arcade version, not one, but two people died of heart attacks during. Oh my god, is there a more beautiful game? No, it's just blue walls, and I guess different versions of the game, there's also, like, robots going, intruder and humanoid detected, which I just think is goofy. And as far as I'm concerned, really the Atari 2600 version of this game is the best one.
So do you not think that I've not played it, I don't particularly know that much about it, but like, I mean, the spinning heads animation, that kind of stuff, that seems kind of goofy anyway, but I mean, I see the kind of simplicity to it still, the beauty of it, so.
It's a really effective, it's such a simple, it's such a simple detail, but it really gives, and that's a strange thing to say about robots, it really gives them a lot of life. It's a really simple sprite. They're the equivalent of, you know, my avatar is a stick figure. But the robots themselves are just, oh, really remarkable. It's just such a simple, and you know, Robotron owes a lot to this game. Like, and then we owe everything to Robotron too because of the two, joysticks, you know? You've played Robotron?
I've not played Robotron.
Oh no. well, you could not have Robotron without Berserk, and you could not have Geometry Wars without Robotron, is what I'm saying. And Robotron is the same premise. You are a little dude on a screen littered with robots, except Robotron has robots of different strengths marching toward you, and then it gives you an extra directive of rescuing victims on the screen before robots can get to them and do God knows what to them. But Berserk is different. It's just, oh, when you play it without Evil Otto on, and he's the big villain in the game, but when you erase him, it becomes this really slow contemplative game where the real directive of each screen, your real motivation, is to just leave the screen. And it's best if you try to get rid of all of the robots before you do that, but you don't have to. You could just kind of walk off. You could just, like, walk out of his screen and be done with it. And it's a really strange game anyway, isn't it?
No, I don't know why. I don't see why.
Your intentions are so simple. Don't walk into a wall. Okay, that's easy. Except it isn't that easy. Actually, it's harder than you think to not walk into a wall. But that just could be my my natural gracelessness coming through in the game. But don't walk into a wall. That's one. Think about shooting all of the robots, but you don't have to. Like, that's a very meandering... That's a really strange objective to give your player. And so your real objective in any given screen is to just walk off, I guess. And I, right, and I tend to play without this evil bouncing ball, evil auto. So my game is very slow. Like, there's no timer. That's a really interesting mechanic right there, is the idea of having this ball that can fly through walls act as kind of a player's timer to get them to leave a screen. He's the timer. And you can shoot him. You can shoot the timer. But but the idea is really to run away from him, to flee. But I don't play with the timer at all. And while as the screen gets more and more cluttered with these nefarious robot adversaries, and it is true that I start playing, like, a little bit faster. But on the whole, I play Berserk for the Atari 2600 wrong. Like, I just play it wrong. And until Brian was sitting with me and watching me play it, I finally said to him, and it never occurred to me before, I said, Brian, I think I'm playing this wrong. And he said, I think you are. And he's right. I play the game wrong. And I think it's great that I'm able to play this game so completely wrong.
So when you started playing it for the first time, was Evil Auto on then? And do you remember at all, like, deciding, I'm going to switch it off? This is irritating.
It wasn't a decision that I made. I think I've just never fiddled with the select switches. Now, my birth dad used to play a lot of Berserk. And I don't remember. He must have been playing with Evil Auto on, I guess. But I don't remember it very clearly. No, it wasn't a decision I made at all. I think it was just that, let's see here. I mean, it must be governed by this difficulty switch, maybe, or this game select switch. I'll tell you, I'm messing with the game select switch right now, and there are 12 different ways I can play. And Atari used to do this. They used to give you an incredible number, and they would call it 12 games. One cartridge, 12 games. So I can hit the switch 12 times, and in no way does the screen indicate exactly what it is I'm choosing. You need the little booklet in front of you to make sense of this strange code. So let's see if I hit set now. I don't even know if I've turned Evil Auto on this time. I'm gonna stand here and see. Ah! Yes, I have! At all. A little bit like being chased by a giant cookie. Here's something interesting about the... this is horrible. Oh, good. George, what have you done in my perfect... Why did you even suggest this? Ugh. And he starts bouncing at you faster once you do get all of the robots off the screen. The nice thing is, when the robots explode, that's really interesting. Okay. Yes, I don't like how fast I'm running in this version of the game at all. Oh, I can't shoot him. George, I can't shoot him. You can only run from him. So okay, playing it this way has me running a lot faster. I was going to say, you barely notice, but in the Atari version of Berserk, when you blast a robot, the little explosion he makes is very, very, very subtly and subliminally a smiley face. So all of these robots, when they're destroyed, are kind of like the, it's almost like an afterburn of the evil smiley face that is in charge of the entire game. It's like a perfect reverse. This is really horrifying. This is like the scariest way. George, my score is already so much better than. I don't like this at all, but my score is much better.
That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about.
I know. I really liked my pensive Zen rock garden version of this game. And now I've, first of all, I didn't expect him that time. He just flew in through the wall on the side of the screen I was already standing. It's a very short distance.
So when you're playing the normal version, the non-Evil Otto version.
With Evil Otto is the normal version.
Yeah, no, I know, but you know, your normal version, I guess. how focused, like how intense is it? As in, like, how much of your attention does it consume? Is it one of these games that kind of you do and you can have a whole other section of your brain dedicated to it, or do you just get zen and completely into it?
Those aren't really separate things, because so if it's 9 or 10 at night and you're playing this game in a very slow way, no, there's like a lot of other thinking that can be, even though it's slow, I think your brain is very active, but it isn't entirely like a shooter zen. It doesn't require all of your faculties the way a fast-paced shooter does, maybe, but there's still the same effect, which is a really pleasant sense of yourself disappearing. When you play a game like that in solitude, which isn't the same thing as solo, and there are some games that are much lonelier than others, and Berserk is a very lonely game. You're the only human on any given screen, and even when there are a lot of opponents on the screens, it's such a lonely, sparse game. And I think the best games for Atari are like that, where the screen is principally black. I was going to tell you about a different Atari game and then decided against it, but it would have been Gyrus, which similarly has this, almost completely black playfield. And I don't know, with the very eerie glowing walls and the occasional nothing that's happening on screen, it's meditative, maybe. I'm trying to think of how much you necessarily have to spend to play it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you play it very slowly on the floor of your apartment, and I told Brian, at that time, I was playing it with my television on the floor, too. It was just this really, I don't think you can picture, like, a sadder person. Just, like, cross-legged on the floor in front of the television, and it was always that or Galaxian. And Galaxian is faster paced, but it's still very, very much a matter of not even being alone with your thoughts, but no, it's very much about making your sense of self disappear. And that's what Shooter's Zen really is, isn't it? When you completely, your ego completely recedes into the background, and I guess maybe all you are is a pair of hands, if that. So, I don't know.
I get this, I've had this, so one thing I really liked is playing Puzzle Bubble, two-player.
Oh.
So, I really like playing that with somebody. In fact, I remember sitting there and just continuously playing with somebody until we're getting up like 100 to something scores. Because you can just play it continuously. Like, the rounds tick over, but there's like a set of three rounds, and then you can carry on and keep setting up the scores. And what I like about that is the mindset I go into, where there's a part of me that's entirely focusing on just playing it. There's a part of my like conscious brain that's also, you know, to work out strategy and stuff, but it's undemanding enough that I'm able to just keep up a constant stream of like trash talking, of just chatting away there, whilst at the same time feeling completely occupied in the game. And that's it's weird to be both so completely focused on a thing and like, you know, channeled into something, and still have like a whole section of your brain free to talk, which I
I think I might not be as good a video game player as you, though, because I find it extremely difficult to talk or to describe what I'm doing while I'm playing anything.
It doesn't apply to most games, don't get me wrong. It's pretty much only Puzzle Bubble two-player that I can really have this going on.
That's interesting. Well, I think fundamentally you're right, though, that, when I was playing Berserk at the end of each day, oh, God, that was a really strange time. Usually I would play it after mopping the shop that I worked in. And what was it? I would, like, sing while I was mopping. And actually, if people walked by on their way to bars, it could be very humiliating to just see this crazy woman mopping and singing. But the other thing that I would do is, this is terrible. Am I allowed to say this?
Sure.
I would do my day's big fuck, and I would shout fuck a lot while I was mopping, because I'd spent all day not cursing at all. So I would mop and sing, but I would also practice my day's big fuck and shout fuck a whole lot. And playing Berserk once I got home was kind of an extension of that, is what I'm saying. If a video game experience could be mopping the store and finally shouting fuck all day like you meant to, that's what that game was for me.